Oh man, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read several verses. We'll start with verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 12. It says, verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, that word beseech there means beg, plead with you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. And of course, obviously, Paul here is talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he's telling them, you know, I'm begging you, and I'm trying to encourage or exhort, maybe even get on to a little bit, by the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm not doing this because of me. I'm doing this because of the Lord, and I'm basically telling you what He would want me to tell you, and that ye, as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. We preached a sermon not too long ago on how to please God or pleasing God, and so we would abound more and more. So again, Paul is starting out his lecture, if you want to say, his sermon, his letter, and saying, look, you know, we want you to do right. And we want you to please God. Why? Because you will abound more and more. And we talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. I enjoyed that Sunday school lesson this morning about the four types of life, physical life, eternal life, abundant life, and resurrection life. And I liked it so much I may even build a sermon out of that. That was just awesome. And so we saw that, you know, everybody has physical life. You might have some ailments, some disabilities, but everybody has the same amount of life. God didn't give somebody else more life than the other, things like that. And then we see eternal life was pretty much promised. If you get saved, you have eternal life. But then that abundant life, it was predicated on your behavior. And how that you can have, I came to give you life and give you more, give it to you more abundantly. But he's just not going to just dump all that on everybody. It's predicated on how you live. And that's what Paul's saying here. We want you to walk and please God, not for my benefit, you know, but for your benefit, so that you can abound more and more. And then it says here, for you know what commandments we have gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been listening to the preaching. You've been reading the Bible. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, in other words, we're supposed to be sanctified, set apart for God's use. And so there are certain things that we have to lay aside or certain things that we don't participate in. And we basically give our life to the Lord to use. And sanctification is there that you should abstain from fornication. So here's some things that he wants you to stay away from. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so there's the title of the sermon in verse 4, and we'll continue reading after I pray. But it says here that we're preaching all this, we're exhorting you, we're begging you, we're pleading with you. It'll be a better life for you, I promise. Why? Because we want you to learn how and know how to possess your vessel. Possess your vessel. So in other words, everybody in here, we've been given this life. This is our vessel. The Holy Spirit lives inside of this vessel. God wants it to be a clean vessel. God wants it to be a sanctified vessel. He wants it to be a vessel used for His honor and glory. But He gives us that free will how to possess it. And so we might could say, hey, this is my body or this is my life, even though it was given to us by God. And you do have the say. A while ago when you woke up from your Sunday afternoon nap and it was almost dark and you felt like you could roll over and go back to bed, that would have been possessing your vessel to sleep a little longer. But all of you obviously rolled out. Or you didn't get that nap. Some of you are like, well, I didn't get a nap. What are you talking about? But anyway, you possessed your vessel to get it in the car or the truck, and you brought it to church. And so you're possessing your vessel like God would want you to I'll get it out here in just a second. Possess your vessel. Now, there's a couple of things in life that we talked about it this morning, how Paul told those guys it was possessing that vessel. I told you should have left it tied up and not went to Crete. And now we're in a storm. So they was possessing that vessel. It was a ship. There's certain things in our life that we possess other than this vessel. I got here a little early to look over my notes. And when I pulled in, Miss Sarah was out there practicing parallel parking. We have one spot down there where I parked this morning that's perfect for practicing parallel parking, right? Did you get it every time? All right. So she's learning how to possess the vessel of that vehicle. And they want her to be able to parallel park. Anybody remember that? You say, well, I parallel park my wagon back. You know, just kidding. Anyway, you parallel park. I think I had to. Yeah, they had cones and flags and things like that. So, but that's what you have to go for your learner's permit, then you have to go for your written part, and then your driving part. They want to know for sure that you know how to possess that vessel. And again, that's not a job that I would have coveted back when I was looking for a job as a driver's license instructor. You know, you're putting your life in that person's hands that don't know how to possess a vessel yet. You know, stop, you know, slow down, and brake pedal. That is the key. That's the most important thing with me in this vehicle is that brake pedal, and so forth. But anyway, they're learning how to possess a vessel. And then I remember my dad telling me when I was a little kid, I wanted to go deer hunting from the time I was in diapers with him. And of course, I got told, no, you have to wait till you're 12. You have to have the hunter safety course. Why? They wanted me to know how to possess the vessel of that rifle. You know, they talked about how you treat them all like they're loaded. If you treat them all like they're loaded, you never shoot anybody on accident. Then they say, you know, you definitely always either point it up, straight up, or straight down. Maybe not at your foot. Over to the side of it would be preferred. But anyway, they teach you how to do that. And then only shoot after all the safety precautions, things like that. We had to watch videos of people accidentally getting shot, things like that. Why? Showing us the seriousness of possessing that vessel. You know, again, then even in our day and time, you know, cap guns and things like that, even wooden pop guns, things like that. You know, they don't want kids to have them, and they say that that's the problem. The guns are not the problem; it's the IGMOs with the guns that's the problem. A gun never killed anybody. So anyway, but they want you to know how to possess it and things like that. And that's what this verse is saying. This is what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica. We want you to learn how to possess your vessel. God has some ways that He wants you to do it, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll continue. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And I ask You to help us, Lord, all to desire to possess this vessel that You've given us in the way that that You would want to possess, and, Lord, the way the Bible instructs us to possess it. And I ask You to help us to be able to please You with all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking here, as far as introduction, in verse 1, that word beseech means to beg. Exhort means to encourage or to maybe reprimand a little bit and show the seriousness of. And then down in verse 6, we didn't get that far yet. Let's go ahead and we'll start at verse 5 because we talked about possessing the vessel of sanctification and honor. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So he said, I don't want you to behave like you're unsaved. I don't want you to behave and participate in things that the unsaved are participating in. Verse 6 says here, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother and say, or any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And so God's going to rectify all injustices. He's going to take, the Bible says, vengeance of mine, saith Lord, I will repay. He will work it out. How you possess in your vessel is going to cause God to respond, either to bless or to correct, things like that. And it says here, as we also have forewarned you and testified. And so, again, Paul's saying, look, we've given you examples of people that possess their vessels like the Gentiles, and they went against the Word of God. And look at the mess that they're in. And this person right here, he backslid, or this person, like the prodigal son, left. And we have examples all throughout the Bible where God says, that person possessed his vessel in a way that I was not pleased with, and this is why this took place. And then there's examples in here, the people like Job that we looked at this morning a little bit, and others in the Bible that possessed their vessel and did it the right way, and they were blessed. And so that's what he's saying here. We forewarned you. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And again, this is what this preacher, you know, I know independent Baptist preachers sometimes get a stamp on them that they're maybe mean-spirited or they have a bunch of rules or they're just trying to dictate. That's what Paul, he's like, look, I'm not trying to dictate here. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what Jesus says. And I'm just telling you, if you'll do this, God will bless you. You'll abound more and more. I'm not saying do it because I said so. I'm saying do it because the Bible says so. And then he did say, though, but I have forewarned you. If something happens and God is taking you out or cursing you or causing things to happen, you were forewarned. That's what he said in verse 7, for God hath not called us to this uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so this is what I would say. I don't want you to have a list of things that you check off. Just be holy. And if you'll just be holy, it'll be fine. Be holy in your conversation. and you won't talk about things you shouldn't. Be holy in where you go, and you won't participate in anything that's unholy. Be holy in how you look, and you'll always be a good testimony unto the Lord. Be holy, just be holy. And that's what he's saying. Again, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's just be holy. Verse 8, he therefore hath despiseth not man, but God. And so if somebody gets upset at what Paul's saying here, you're not getting upset at me, he's saying. You're getting upset at God. And says here, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God in love to love one another. Verse 10, and indeed ye do it toward all brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech, beg again, ye brethren, that ye increase more and more. We want you to get closer to God. Do more for God. Be a better Christian, especially in our day and time. Things like that. More and more. And verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Again, this is what the devil will do. We're supposed to be being holy and doing more and more for God, but we get caught up in other stuff that's really none of our business. All that's going to do is, you know, slow you down and get you messed up. So study, be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands as we command you. And verse 12 is where we stop, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And so that's what Paul's saying here. I'm preaching to you. I'm begging you. I'm instructing you. I'm telling you that God will bless you. Why? Because I don't want you to lack anything. I want you to have everything that you want. And so he's saying here in verse 6, he forewarned them and testified. And then he told them in verse 1 again, he said, I want you to walk and please God. That's what I want you to worry about. Why? Because verse 1 says you can be blessed and pleased and abound more and more. And I don't want you to lack anything. And so far as we see here in an introduction, first thing that we want to see is that we want to possess this vessel to please God, not man. So if everybody in Lighthouse Baptist Church thinks, well, you know, Brother Stanley might think or Brother Robbie might think, and so I'm going to do this. Don't think that way. Think God's watching me, and I want God to bless me. Or, you know, we have some deacons. Well, if Brother Derek or Brother Raji sees me, I want to behave because I don't want them to be upset with me. Again, I know them. They would want you to please God, not them. Because if you'll please God, the pastor is going to be pleased with you. The deacons are going to be pleased with you. Other brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, Brother so-and-so is watching. Or Mrs. so-and-so is watching. Mm-mm. Possess your vessel because he's watching. And live holy. Don't worry about it. Well, if I put this on, this might offend. If I say this, this might offend. Brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so, don't worry about that. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about the Gentiles. Don't worry about the brother sitting next to you. Don't worry about the brother sitting behind you or the sister. You just worry about him, and you possess your vessel and make him pleased with it. Everything else will fall in line. So don't possess your vessel for men. And we're commanded that way. We're going to read a couple verses. I'm going to read you one in Ephesians. You don't have to turn there. If you do, it's just a few pages over. But Ephesians 6, 5, and 7. Ephesians 6, 5, and 7. It says this. All right, we want you to possess your vessel to please God, not men. And it says it right here. Of course, he told the Thessalonians that. And of course, it's the same author, human author. God's telling him what to write down. But he says over here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 6 says here, not with eye service. So in other words, don't possess your vessel just to make everybody happy with their eyes, what they see. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So you ought to do what you do from your heart to please God, not because somebody's watching. And all of us are that way. We'll say things or do things, even kids. They'll say and do things that they shouldn't do or things like that until mom walks in the room. And then they're perfect little angels. Why? Because mom's eyes are there. So I need to be obedient and do the right thing, say the right thing, treat my brother or sister the right way. Why? Because mom's watching. But guess what? God's always watching. So we ought not do what we do so it would impress somebody's eyeballs other than God's. And he says right here, not with eye service. Don't do what you do. Don't possess your vessel because somebody's watching as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing it the will of God. This is what God wants me to do. This is what the Bible says. This is how Christians ought to do and act. Verse 7, for goodwill doing service as the Lord and not to men. So we possess this vessel. Again, not to impress out here, but to impress up there. But so much of society says you got to have this type of shoe to be cool. Or you have to have this name brand or you're scum. And it's just all about the eye service. Say these words. All right? It's funny how words come and go and things like that. But it's all said, you know, we got to keep up with the Joneses in our look, keep up with the Joneses in our speech. Why? It's all about eye service. We want to please men. No, forget that. Please God. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. If I can find it right here, real quick. I put paper clips so I could find them quicker, but I'm not. Yep, there it is. Colossians 3, verse 22. Colossians 3, verse 22. It's all right here close. Verse 22 says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." And so again, I ought to obey my boss. I ought to obey my mom and dad. I ought to obey my teacher. Again, not because it's eye service, not because I want to impress other people, but I want to do what God wants me to do. Well, singleness of heart, fearing God, verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily," or "do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So we've got to get away from this possessing the vessel to please my neighbor, possessing the vessel to please my friend, possessing my vessel to please the world, things like that. Get that out of your mind. Get that out of your heart. I'm going to possess this vessel to please God. So first way of introduction we saw, possess your vessel not to please men, but to please God. Galatians 1:10. I'll read you that one. Galatians 1:10, it says this, "For do I not persuade men or God? Or for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So again, we're serving men if we're trying to please them in what we do, say, act, all that kind of stuff. So possess your vessel to please God and not man. Proverbs 16:7 says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him." So if we do what we do to please God, he's going to take care of all the rest. If our ways are right, we can please God. But if our ways are not, we're not going to please God. God is upset with us. And so, again, if I have the mindset, I want to possess this vessel in a way that would please God. And anything I do, say, act, go, anything. And he's pleased. If he's pleased, anybody that matters will be pleased as well. If I please God, my parents would be pleased with me. If I please God as a church member, excuse me, my voice is changing there. If I please God, my pastor would be pleased with me. If I please God, the right kind of friend will be pleased with me. If I please God, my wife, if she's right with God, will be pleased with me. If I please God, my children, if they're right with God, they will be pleased with me. If I please God, my friends, if they're the right kind of friends, will be pleased with me. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says this, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Of course, in 1 Corinthians 10:5, Paul's telling the church of Corinth, the people that was out in the wilderness, a lot of them didn't please God. Why? Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were worried about the enemy. They were worried about the people outside or inside the camp. What they should have done was worried about what God wanted. And if they would have worried about what God wanted, they probably would not have been overthrown. But they were overthrown in the wilderness because they cared more about what they wanted, what their friends wanted, the enemy wanted, and they did not want to please God. So you cannot please God and man, the Bible says, and so we've got to be concerned with that. Now, I'm going to read you one more verse. I have several more verses, I guess. But along this line is found in Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8. And it says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." So again, if they're wanting to possess their vessel, and all they're worried about is if it feels good, do it. What does my flesh want? It's right here. For they don't do the things of the flesh, or after the flesh. Let me say it again. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So again, if I'm possessing my vessel and I want to do it according to the Bible, I was like, okay, I've got to do everything that the Spirit wants me to do, not what the flesh wants me to do. My flesh, sometimes the Bible says, when somebody says something mean to me or does something to me, my flesh wants to retaliate or to say something more hateful. And so if I let my flesh dictate what this vessel does, I'm going to respond that way. But the Spirit says, you know, turn the other cheek. A soft answer turns away wrath. Okay, that's more difficult. But if I'm going to be in charge and possess this vessel, I've got to listen to the Spirit, not the flesh. So you're going to have those little, the angel sitting here and the demon sitting here in every situation in life. You're offered an opportunity to respond. The devil's going to say, you know, call them, say your mama, say this hateful thing to them, tell them they're ugly and their mama dresses them funny. But the Holy Spirit's going to say, be nice, say something encouraging, say something that will smooth the situation out. And we're going to have to do. So you're in charge of that, possessing your vessel. Respond in the flesh, respond in the Spirit. And it says right there in Romans, you know, if you're just always going to be in the flesh, you're going to respond in the flesh all the time. But if you're trying to please God and you're living in the Spirit, He will help you possess that vessel. Verse 6 says this, to be carnally minded is death. So again, if we listen to the carnal mind, the flesh mind, that's going to bring about death. Death to our testimony. Maybe even death to our physical life sometimes. And so carnally minded, it means death. But to be the spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we, and I've been there, I've responded in the flesh. I've not possessed this vessel like I should. So I've been given an opportunity to respond, and I possessed my vessel wrongly. I lashed out. I said something that I shouldn't. And then later, the Holy Spirit's like, giving me a whipping. I told you, you shouldn't have said that. Now look at this mess. I'm like, ugh. But it says right there that if we respond in the right way, it's life and peace. So I looked back at the situation and said, my flesh wanted to get even. My flesh wanted to say this, this, and this, but I didn't. Thank you, Lord. You told me how to respond in the Spirit, and I did. There's not a big old mess to dig out of now. I'm right here. God's blessed because I wasn't super Christian and possessing my vessel like I wanted to. I was just a humble and a obedient Christian and responded how God wanted me to. So that's what we see. It says there, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. To do it the wrong way, to do it in the flesh, not possessing our vessel right, that's an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when we respond in the flesh and we possess our vessel and do the things in the flesh, we're not in line with the Bible. We're not in line with God. Okay, so we obviously looked at it in a response of somebody saying something or doing something to us. For the teenagers here and the, you know, the ones that aren't married and things like that, you're going to be given opportunities to do things wrong in this flesh. Right. Hey, you're good looking. Hey, let's go make out. You don't have one of these. All right? So that's, you're supposed to possess this vessel. I'm not going. All right? The Holy Spirit says, well, you know, you're not supposed to be that way. So I can either respond in the flesh and do something that I shouldn't do and have guilt and regret for the rest of my life. But if the Holy Spirit says, the Bible says, stay away from fornication. Stay away from things that you shouldn't do. You know, not my mom would kill me. Not my dad would kill me, but they might. But the Bible says that I'm supposed to flee youthful lust. I'm supposed to not be a participant in fornication. So I'm going to possess this vessel and say, no, not doing that. And then we look back and you can stand at the altar one day and tell your husband or your wife, I saved myself for you. There's not a big mess here to deal with because I possess this vessel. I kept it out of that situation. And again, that's just two examples. And we could go on and on and on, and I won't, okay, all night long, where you're going to get an ability to respond in the flesh or respond in the Spirit, but we are in charge of this vessel and how we respond. So verse 8 says this, so then they that are in the spirit or flesh cannot please God. So if we possess our vessel and we respond in the flesh, act in the flesh, participate in the flesh, God is not pleased. But if we possess the vessel and say, okay, I'm going to respond like the Spirit wants me to. I'm going to say what the Spirit wants me to. Obviously pleasing God. So we see that possessing this vessel to please God, not man. And it said there that there was a bunch of them out there that were not pleased. And so in Romans 8 through 5, or 5 through 8, we saw here that if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not pleasing God. If you're walking in the flesh, you're not pleasing God. If you're walking carnally minded, you're not pleasing God. If you're not subject to the Word of God, you're not pleasing God. So, again, we ought not please man, but we ought to please God. A couple other things here we see. First of all, we saw that we ought not please man, but God. But then now we see here how we don't please God if we react in the flesh. The other one is this. 2 Timothy 2:4 says this. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So I'm possessing my vessel. So this vessel ought not get entangled in the affairs of this life. For instance, you know, I'm going to go vote next week. I'm for, you know, you see all the list of, you know, this person's for this person's against this, da 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 da. Again, I want to vote as close to that Bible as possible. Amen. I'm going to do that, all right? But I'm not going to go, you know, hold signs for people. I'm not going to go spend hours and hours and hours, you know, I'd rather go door knocking for hours and hours and hours. I think that would do better than me going, woohoo, vote for this person. All right? I'm not going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, obviously, I have to have a job. I have to provide for my family, things like that. We get it. But we ought not get so entangled with those affairs of life that we can't please God. That He may please Him that chosen Him to be a soldier. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So, how to possess this vessel? Number one, by not pleasing ourselves. By not pleasing ourselves. Ourself, our flesh, wants to be pleased. And I gave you an example of that right at the beginning. Maybe our flesh wanted to stay asleep. That would please our flesh. In the morning when the alarm clock goes off, your flesh would probably like to stay in the bed. And things like that. But we can't please ourselves. We can't please our flesh. We have to please God. So, number one, in Romans 15, 1 through 11, it says this, and when that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So, again, we know if you have siblings and you had a Christian mom, you heard the verse over and over, you know, in honor preferring one another, the golden rule, treat other people like you'd want to be treated, things like that. Be nice to your sister. Be nice to your brother. But it says right there in Romans 15, 1, when that we are strong ought not bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. So we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Verse 2 says this, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification and honor, preferring one another. So we ought not please ourselves. This is going to help us to not to possess this vessel. Don't go around trying to please it. And everybody in this world, that's what they want to do. They want to please themselves. They want to please themselves. There will be lots of people that spend hours on their outward look in the morning. Hairdos, makeup, clothing, this, that, and the other. My wife bought my granddaughter sparkly fingernail polish and sparkly makeup. Eyeshadow, is that what it was? All right. And so they were showing, Paw Paw, Paw Paw, and they were showing me those fingers, and they were blinking those little eyes at me so I could see the sparkle. All right. And I was like, oh my goodness. It's already started, and they're, what, four? And my soul. But you know, anyway, that's just how the world has taught us. Please yourself. If it feels good, do it. What do you want to do? It's your life. It's this. And so, according to the Bible, if we want to possess this vessel, we can't go through life pleasing ourselves. Pleasing ourselves. It says it right there in Romans 15, 1, that we are not to please ourselves. It's all, you know, we're told it's all about us, but it's not all about us. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I have to change this. To possess this vessel, I got to think, my number one thing in my body and my mind is going to tell me, please yourself, please yourself, please yourself, please yourself. So I have to reverse that and say, no, I want to diligently seek Him. I want to please God. I want to please God. I want to please God. So we see, number one, how do we possess this vessel? By not pleasing ourselves. Number two, by walking with God. By walking with God. I got to have His help. If I just go through life without God, it's going to be flesh decision, flesh decision, flesh decision. I've got to have God. By walking with God, Colossians 1:10 says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So again, we have to, if we read that in our flesh, it makes no sense to us. If we read that and we want to please our flesh, we're going to have to block it out. La, 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 I don't want to hear it. But if we let the Holy Spirit teach us that, hey, you might walk worthy of the Lord into all well-pleasing. How can I please God? By being fruitful, every good work, and then it says increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, that's why you go to Sunday school. That's why you go to church. That's why you have personal devotions. That's why you study about the life of a Christian. Why? You're increasing. This is going to please God. Hebrews 11:5 says this, but by faith Enoch walked with God and had a testimony that he pleased God. Isaiah 43:7 and 21, it says here, every one of you that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. This was God speaking, and Isaiah was preaching it. He was telling you, hey, everybody in here that's got a name, I've created you, and God was saying, for my glory. And I have formed you, yea, I have made you, or made him. Verse 21 says this, and the people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Again, that's why we were created. We weren't created to possess this vessel to bring honor to ourselves. We were possessed to give honor to God. We weren't created to possess this vessel to make ourselves happy. We were created to make God happy. We weren't made to praise ourselves. And that's what people do all the time. I did this. Look at what I did. Look. Hey, check this out. I. But we were made to praise God. So possess this vessel means to praise God, not ourselves. Possess this vessel means to please God, not ourselves. And so it just keeps going on and on. By walking with God, in John 4:23-24 says this, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers, this is verse 23, but the hour has come, and now is when the true worshipers, we have mock worshipers out there. We have obviously false worshipers out there. But the true worshipers, the ones that want to try to please God and praise God, shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And of course, very familiar verse, verse 24, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So again, possess this vessel, we have to get to the point where we worship God in spirit and in truth. You've heard of this phrase before, going through the motions. Sometimes we can even do the right thing, but in the wrong way. Why? Because we're going through the motions. We're singing the songs. We're saying, amen. We're just going through the motions. And that pleases people. Men pleasers. I don't want people to think I'm not right with God, so I'm going to sing. I don't want to people think that I'm backslidden, so I'm going to say amen. Again, so we're just going through the motions. But if we want to worship God, we've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He knows the true worshipers not. Hebrews 13:15 says this, by Him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God. How? Continually. That the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. So that that person that's walking in the Spirit, it's just going to be obvious. They're going to praise God continually. And the fruit of their lips is just going to be thanksgiving. And of course, obviously, this is the month that we celebrate Thanksgiving. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And so the person that's walking with God, we see here, he's just going to praise God continually. And I've had people, you know, laugh at me or say, what? When they say something and I say, well, praise God. Why are you praising God for that? You know, the other day I backed into a guardrail, bent the back end of my truck. That's hard to praise God in it. But praise God, it could have been worse. Right? It wasn't. And so even in a situation that's, you know, possessing this vessel, here's a response. I could have got out, kicked it, said some few choice words. Man, no. Praise God. All right, it could have been worse. Things like that. So, again, this is how you possess your vessel. True worshipers, it'll come through, giving thanks. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving thanks by me or by or be made for all men. So true worshipers, what do? They worship, they praise God continually, they give thanks, and they pray. And then in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're possessing your vessel. I have to possess my mind is inside my vessel. What do I got to do? I got to renew it every day. I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was 10. I surrender to the Lord. I'm serving God every day. Renew that. Renew that. I'm possessing this vessel. We see here, this is these proofs of walking with God. You saw all 8 of them. If you're walking with God, you'll be fruitful in every good work. You'll be increasing in knowledge of God. You will have a testimony. You will praise God continually. You will worship God. You will give thanks. You will pray. And you'll be not conformed to this world, but you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you walk with God. Then number 3. First of all, we saw, how do we do this? How do we possess the vessel? By not pleasing ourselves, but pleasing God. Not pleasing men, but pleasing God. Secondly, we saw by walking with God. And all 8 things will take place if we're walking with God. And the third thing, finally, by meeting the needs of others. By meeting the needs of others. And of course, we've all heard the little, I think it's called acronym or whatever, Jesus, others, and you. You put Jesus first, then others, then you. And of course, I've heard people, you know, say, you know, you are still on the list and you should be, and you ought to take care of yourself, things like that. Because if you do, you'll be able to help others and you'll be able to honor and glorify Jesus. But you're possessing this vessel. So what this vessel is here to do is not to please myself, but to please God. Second thing I need to do is meet the needs of others. Put myself third. Hebrews 13:16 says this, but to do good. And again, we won't take time to go through, but the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. We ought to do this. How do I possess this vessel? Do good with it. I mean, any type of good. There's people, you'll see them out there, they'll have their little orange or yellow, greenish vest on and their little pinchers, and they'll be picking up paper on the side of the highway. That's a good thing. Keeping it clean, looking nice. And when they get finished, yes, they're tired. Yes, they're dirty, but they've done good. They've picked up things. Obviously, we can do spiritually speaking. We've prayed for other people. We've visited shut-ins. We've taken people that needed something and things like that. We've went door knocking. We've invited people to church, things like that. We've done something good. Possessing this vessel, Hebrews 13:16 says this, but to do good. Then it goes on to say, and communicate. So I'm possessing this vessel. I ought to be doing good things and communicating. Communication, obviously, again, you have to possess it. I mean, I can talk sports as long as anybody wants to. But I ought to possess this vessel and not talk sports 24/7. Right? God ought to be in there somewhere. I can talk about myself. I did this, I did that, I did... Nope, but I want to possess this vessel and I want to communicate God. So again, I try to. It's kind of like when you're sitting on an airplane. You know, sometimes you talk to the person beside you. Sometimes you don't want to. Okay. All right. But you have to control the conversation. And in doing so, in Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate. And here's a third thing is forget not. And the devil will make sure that you have opportunities to forget to do the good. I should have. Yeah. I should have said. Yeah. Hebrews 13:16, but do good and to communicate, but forget not, I should have possessed your vessel and do. So with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'll read it again. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So it does take sacrifice to do the right thing, to do good for somebody. It does take sacrifice to say the right thing to somebody. And God realizes that. And God realizes that it takes effort on my part not to forget to do that. I'll get home sometimes and I'll say, you know, that person asked me that question at the, you know, in the parking lot of so-and-so. I should have gave them a track. I should have said this to them. This situation, somebody asked me and, you know, it kind of caught me off guard and I was flustered. I didn't know what to say. I should have said this, this, and this. Okay? It's probably happened to you too. You know, communication. Oh, man, I should have said this would have been perfect to say. I should have read this verse, or I should have said this. God realized that. You forgot. But with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Verse 17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves For they watch for your souls, that they should give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. So again, that's what Paul is saying here. He said, look, possess your vessel. Do good. Say the right thing. Don't forget to. And when you do that, it's going to be profitable for you. So how to possess our vessel? Number one, don't please yourself, but please God. Don't please men, but please God. Number two, walk with God and do all those things. And number three, meet the needs of others. Jesus, others, and you. And it's up to you, possessing your vessel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a short invitation. We're all going to stand before God and give an account of how we possessed our vessel. And tomorrow, I promise you, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind, there will be something that you will be given the opportunity to possess your vessel and respond in the Spirit or respond in the flesh. It's up to you. Let's all stand. Altar is open if you need to come pray and ask God something we need to ask Him all the time.